This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Wednesday afternoon, February 19th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. The U.S. versus Canada hockey game tomorrow night is driving sky-high ticket prices and anticipating some monster TV ratings. We'll talk about the buzz in our next segment. But first, new data shows one in three Americans procrastinate on filing their taxes. Joining us to discuss why that might be a big mistake is Mark Gallagher, Illinois CPA Society member and tax partner at Porty Brown in Chicago. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And procrastinating to file your taxes is something that everybody has done at one point in their life. And as far as accountants are concerned, I mean, tax filing season began January 27th. But if you file after April 1st, are you considered a later filer?
That would be considered a later filer, correct.
And what are some of the mistakes? What's the one risk that you run if you are an April 1st person or an April 10th person or heaven forbid, an April 14th or 15th person?
Well, number one, faster refunds. You want to get your refund faster. So the IRS processes your returns on a first-come, first-served basis. So it slows down the processing time. So it'll take longer for you to get a refund. Also, tax fraud and all kinds of identity theft. Scammers are out there looking to steal returns and Social Security numbers and file claims ahead of you, potentially. So get your return in to avoid any potential issues in that area. And the last minute rush, I mean, between gathering all your documents, fixing any errors, and basically, you don't want to forget about it. I know people say, oh, I got plenty of time between now and April 16th. We got 8 weeks or so. But the reality is, spring break and other holidays and things that come up, and next thing you know, the date has come on you.
And I think for all of us who lived through the COVID-19 pandemic, when everything shut down, the depths of the COVID pandemic nearly 5 years ago, the lesson of you never know what the future holds, I think we all learned that in a very visceral way. And I remember I filed my taxes that year in early March, but a week later, everything shut down and the whole country went to remote work, including the people who process your tax returns at the IRS. So it took a very long time for us to get our refund, even though I filed a month ahead of time because of this very sudden, unexpected event.
Yes, and in the earlier you get in, you avoid those events, but also you will get your return process quicker. And typically right now, if you're e-filing your return, it's about 21 days to get your refund, maybe sooner. But if you file by paper, it could take 4 to 6 weeks. So, and then that processing time takes longer as you get closer to April 15th.
Now, also in terms of just if you have a basic return and it's not that complicated, there are a number of online tools available to you to make things a lot easier and cut the amount of time that you have to expend on filing your taxes. And some of those tools are free.
Absolutely. Plenty of websites, the state of Illinois, all kinds of other softwares out there that will help you. Even the IRS itself has a free filing program. If you just got a W-2, I mean, that's the easiest way. If you have more complexity, then you might want to use a tax advisor.
Mark Galagos, Illinois CPA Society member and tax partner at Porty Brown in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today, telling you why you should probably file your income taxes sooner rather than later. And then coming up, a look at the much-anticipated U.S. versus Canada hockey showdown.
You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
There's a ton of buzz surrounding the U.S. versus Canada hockey game tomorrow night, drawing Super Bowl-level ticket prices and massive expected TV viewership. Joining us to discuss is Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Vertair Group in Chicago. Tim, thank you for joining us today. And this is a challenge that every major professional sports league has been facing in recent years, and that is, how do you arrest the decline in viewership and interest in that league's particular All-Star game? The NBA has altered the format of their All-Star game. The Pro Bowl is on the verge of extinction in the NFL. They've tried to jazz it up seemingly every 5 years or so, but it seems like the NHL has cracked the code with this Four Nations face-off in lieu of their All-Star game.
I think this was more a situational opportunity that sort of presented itself. And you can give the NHL a lot of credit for experimenting with this window of opportunity, because it's not just a replacement or a potential replacement for the All-Star game in the NHL's case. And it's certainly a different format that I think has gotten a lot of people, even sort of casual fans of hockey, interested. And it taps into something much broader, which is obviously nationalistic fervor, especially when you think about things like the Olympics, which is one part of this story. The NHL is for the first time in a number of years going to release or let its players play professionally, representationally in the Olympics in coming up in Milan, Turin. Excuse me, in Cortina, Milan. I'm sorry, I got to get my Italian city straight, as well as the subsequent Winter Olympics. But it's also, frankly, something that's evolving with the NHL with their somewhat stillborn World Cup of Hockey, which is a four-year event that is trying to replicate the success of the World Cup in soccer. So the NHL has got a bunch of things going on. It recognizes that international competitions have always been part of hockey's culture. And by essentially manufacturing this new tournament out of whole cloth, is now tapping into that fervor, especially between the United States and Canada. But it's actually part of some other things going on with the NHL in terms of its desire to be much more available and participatory in other international competitions, some of which it's funded itself, like the World Cup.
And nationalistic fervor, if channeled into constructive means, can be rather profitable for the person who or entity that puts it on, whether it's the Four Nations face-off, whether it's the World Baseball Classic during spring training, or even a singing competition like Eurovision, which in the United States we view it as a curiosity, but in Europe for the nations involved in the Eurovision competition, that's a big deal. National pride's on the line.
Yeah, and I think hockey, perhaps behind soccer, is probably unique in its international appeal and that fervor, right? So especially between Canada and the United States, right? So Canada has a very strong international history with its very famous Summit Series back in 1972 and a successor of that in 1974. If you're Canadian or of a generation there, you will remember where you were during that time in 1972, and of course the United States in 1980 with the Miracle on Ice and its performance, and both of those ironically around competition against the then Soviet Union. So you notice that the Russian Federation is not part of any of these events thus far. So in order for number one, the international fervor and hockey competition very much go hand in hand. Second, you now think about perhaps beyond just these four nations in this particular contest, perhaps the NHL now really thinking about international expansion and or competition to supplement what you know, essentially is a marketplace that's pretty much satiated with NHL franchises right now in the United States and Canada.
The cheapest ticket hovering around $1,200 for this final. But once again, we've said this a number of times, Tim, on this program. Everything old is new again. Every innovation, every great new idea that we talk about this show, there's some analog for it from decades ago. And as you were talking about, you know, the Canadians beating the Soviets in the Summit Series in 1972, and of course the Miracle on Ice in 1980. I remember when I was a kid how neat and interesting and just outside the norm when the Red Army would show up to play the Blackhawks at Chicago Stadium.
Sure, and I think you'll see a lot more entertainment of those kinds of ideas going forward. And the NHL, very much like the NBA, et cetera, would like to push further the NFL into international territory. And I think you'll see a lot more of this kind of stuff in the years to come.
Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Viterra Group in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, Chipotle gears up for burrito season while KFC moves its headquarters from Kentucky to Texas.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Some big moves in the restaurant world. KFC is relocating its U.S. headquarters to Texas, and Chipotle is using AI to hire 20,000 seasonal workers. I want to welcome in R.J. Hadavi, head of analytical research at the Los Altos, California-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. RJ, thank you for joining us today, and let's tackle the big one first, and that is Kentucky Fried Chicken is moving away from Kentucky, relocating its headquarters from Louisville to Texas. Now, if I go to the Cave Hill Cemetery in Louisville and check in on the grave of Colonel Harlan Sanders, will I hear a very loud whirring noise this afternoon?
Yeah, I can't answer that, but I can certainly answer why they're doing it. I think you and I have talked about restaurants looking to cut costs a lot in this environment. Obviously, they've been dealing with food inflation and labor costs as well. And really, this is part of a broader effort that we've seen across the category just to cut costs. We've seen it in terms of automation and trying to make streamlined processes easier. We've seen it with some technology and some machinery helping to produce the food. And now this is just yet another way for restaurant companies as they look to cut costs in a more costly environment.
And of course, KFC is just one of the brands under the Yum umbrella, including Taco Bell and Habit Burger and Grill. And they already have headquarters in Irvine, in California, and this new facility, or moving into Plano, Texas. And it seems to be part of a larger trend coming out of the COVID pandemic, where a lot of offices had to reduce their footprint due to hot desking, due to working at home, due to different schedules. And when you have to think about maybe looking at a new facility to house that reduced office footprint, maybe you don't necessarily have to stay in your traditional headquarters city.
You're exactly right. And what our data shows is that right now in 2024, we're still only about 65% of the visits to office buildings that we were pre-pandemic. And that represents about 80% of the employees. So we still have about 20% of employees working permanently from home, and then a good percentage of employees that are doing a hybrid work model. And so you're absolutely right. I think a lot of corporations have taken a look at their corporate headquarters and their different office spaces. And what do we really need? While still allowing some employees some flexibility, the Plano location has got more than enough room for, I think, the different corporate groups, not only, as you mentioned, Pizza Hut and KFC's global operations are already there, but I think there's more than enough space to fill in the KFC U.S. team as well. So I think this is part of a broader trend. We're seeing this across the board, not just retail restaurants. This is really something we're seeing across most corporations, is rethinking how they approach office space.
Elsewhere in the restaurant space, we're on the cusp of burrito season, RJ, and Chipotle is recruiting 20,000 seasonal workers to meet this period of increased burrito demand. And in order to cut the time required to hire those 20,000 seasonal workers, they're using an AI program called Avocado. Now, does this mean if I want to get a temporary job at Chipotle, I should add Avocado and link on LinkedIn and start sucking up to it?
That's another great question. I'm not sure I can answer that one either. But I do think this is pretty interesting. And I do think, you know, you can go anywhere in 2024 with talking about the applications of AI. A lot of it's been focused on the generative AI side and using it to create marketing or other consumer-facing documents. But I think this is really interesting. I think for a lot of restaurant chains, there's a huge opportunity to explore the applications of AI in not only hiring, but also staff retention, making employees' jobs easier. And so I think this is a really intriguing test, using this Avocado to better screen for candidates. The company reported that they're seeing a 85% increase in the number of completed applications, a much shorter time from that application fill out to start date. Really interesting stuff. And I think a lot of this back office operations, I think we are going to see a lot of transformation in the year ahead due to AI.
RJ Hadavi, head of analytical research at the Los Altos, California-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI, thank you for joining us.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today, this is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Governor Pritzker delivering his State of the State address in Springfield at this hour. A federal judge decides not to block Elon Musk and his Department of Government Efficiency Task Force from gaining access to federal data systems and making cuts to government agency staffs. It's Personal Finance Wednesday. We'll look at the best ways to help your parents with their financial situation without negative impacting your own. Plus, a Michelin-starred restaurant based in Chicago announcing plans for a road trip to celebrate its 20th anniversary. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed. The Dow is down 138 points. NASDAQ up 16. S&P 500 up 5. We have 14 degrees right now under partly sunny skies. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. Governor J.B. Pritzker delivering his State of the State address to the Illinois General Assembly at this hour. One of the big issues will be speaking about is what can be done to deal with a potentially large budget deficit. Estimates released in November by the Office of Management and Budget projected a $3.2 billion deficit for fiscal year 2026. With the expiration of federal COVID funding, increased allocations for K-12 education and pension payments making up a significant amount of that projected deficit. A federal judge has declined to block Elon Musk and his non-governmental Department of Government Efficiency Task Force from accessing federal data systems and making cuts to staffs of government agencies. CBS News Chief White House Correspondent Nancy Cordes has the story.
This one particular federal judge, Tanya Chutkan, is not going to get in the way of Elon Musk and Doge doing what they want to do, which is to gain access to various government computer systems and to identify more federal positions that can be eliminated. But there are plenty of other federal lawsuits out there, particularly having to do with these mass firings and with a refusal to pay some contractors. So those lawsuits will go on.
In issuing her ruling, the judge said that states seeking to block his team's actions failed to show they'll suffer imminent irreparable harm without relief from those actions. It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are mixed right now. Joining us with the latest and what's moving Wall Street is Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist with B. Riley Financial in New York. Art, thank you for joining us today, and let us acknowledge a fresh record for the S&P 500.
Yes, indeed, and the second record of this year. So with all the potential policy changes and headwinds and uncertainty around tariffs and the like, the market continues to grind higher. So I think that we've got an investor base that seems to be willing to, at least in the near term, listen to the noise around new policy and hope that it doesn't all come to fruition. And what I mean by that is tariffs applied universally would be unambiguously bad for both the economy and inflation, but talking tough on tariffs can oftentimes start a negotiation process, and that's very reminiscent of the Trump administration in 2018, where they were very targeted, but surrounded by some tough talk. And I think investors are looking at that playbook and saying, if that's the case, let's focus on what is working. And what is working is a market that has broadened out and worked its way higher this year without the help of technology. And that's a big change over the last couple of years, where technology was the main driver for this market. We've got 8 sectors in the S&P 500 that are actually outperforming the index. The last couple of years, we've only had 2, and that's been technology and communication services.
Now, the Dow is down today, and Home Depot and Sherwin-Williams leading those declines on the Dow, dropping more than 1% each. Is this just a reflection of what we are seeing in the home building market?
Yeah, so a lot of data on the housing market right now coming out this week, and that's the main focus. So the National Association of Home Builders came out with their index, which was down more than anticipated, and then we're going to get existing home sales at the end of the week. But clearly the housing industry suffers from a couple things, not the least of which is existing home sales don't exist, right? There's no supply of existing home sales. The home builders are trying as fast as they can to build new homes, but they've reached some upper limits. So the housing industry, unless and until we get a lower mortgage rate on the 30-year fixed, is going to be stuck in the mud. I suspect that at some point in time, the mean reversion with a yield of the 10-year at 4.5 and the current 30-year fixed at 7 and change will likely revert back to the normal gap that is not the 250 basis points or 2.5%, but the 1.5%, and that might start some activity in the spring. But for the here and now, it's one of the worst performing sectors real estate is in the S&P 500.
We do get Fed minutes later this afternoon, around 1 o'clock Central Time, from their most recent policy meeting. Are analysts expecting any surprises inside?
I don't suspect that'll be the case. Now, the reason I say that is in this day and age, with a press conference after every Fed meeting, and then with Chair Powell being up on Capitol Hill for 2 days of testimony and Q&A, very hard to have any surprises coming out of the latest minutes of the meeting. So I think everything that needs to be said about where the Fed is and the FOMC is on rates has been said. I think the Fed funds futures don't have any rate cuts going all the way out to September right now. So I don't know that there's going to be anything revelatory, but we always take a peek at it as soon as it comes out.
Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist, B. Riley Financial in New York. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, financially supporting your aging parents without hurting your own finances.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, and today we're getting some advice on how to support aging parents financially without jeopardizing one's own future. We welcome in Ed Jertsen, Certified Financial Planner and founder of the Engage Wealth Group Group in Chicago. Find him online at engagewealthgroup.com. Ed, thank you for joining us today. And what is an example of a person taking care of their aging parents and harming their own finances along the way? What is a model scenario?
Yeah, Rob, supporting parents who are not financially or even physically independent can be a financial and emotional struggle, right, for their adult children without proper planning. So where this would come into play is if your parent, if you would, is in need, right? Again, it's financial need or physical need, but let's focus on financial need. Somehow medical bills or home care becomes too expensive for them given their resources, and now they're looking for other avenues, and they look towards their kids in order to help them fund this. And this puts a tremendous strain potentially not only on the kids, but also for their future and their financial future, because their resources are being used not to support their core family, but for their parents. And without, again, proper planning, this can be a very difficult challenge for a lot of us in not only today, but well into the future.
And speaking of planning, it always hurts to plan. It does not hurt to plan ahead, even though sometimes it can be a tedious discussion. Estate planning and cash flow planning are probably two conversations you could have potentially right now to head off harmful situations in the future.
Yeah, great point, Robert. So let's start with estate planning. We cannot stress enough the importance of having proper legal documents in place, and these would include things like powers of attorney for property and health care. So should your parents become incapacitated, you need to have the legal authority to act on their behalf. And so from that standpoint, these are essential documents to handle their day-to-day affairs, along with wills and potentially irrevocable trust to kind of round out that overall estate planning document.
And then on the subject of planning, tax planning and proactive tax planning is probably essential. So what are some proactive things you can do as far as your parents' relationship with the IRS?
Well, the first thing is to make sure your parents are actually filing. And that's important because as things fall through the cracks, right, more and more companies are trying to send things digitally. And parents of an age may not be digitally aware or competent or comfortable getting digital records such as 1099s or other tax documents. So making sure your parents are organized first and foremost is really important and that they're actually filing on time. And that can be tedious in its own right because not only are you worrying about your own taxes, but you're also having to worry about them. And making sure that you've got a great team in place for your parents is also important, right? An accountant, an estate planning attorney, and a certified financial planner can go a long way in terms of helping that overall burden in terms of you not being solely responsible, again, for their entire care.
Every family is different. Every conversation is different. But I know this is a discussion we've had on this program before, and that is sometimes the circumstances of care necessitate someone in the household possibly stepping back professionally. And if they either quit their job or they go part-time, that impacts their retirement savings. What do you counsel to someone who finds themselves in that situation?
Well, again, be very thoughtful in the approach in terms of what you are basically giving up in terms of your own personal finances to support a parent. So again, kind of going back to a parent who may not be financially independent, right? So now you're almost being solely responsible for them as well, and being able to help fund that or help fund in-home care while working could be one thing, but if you've got to cut back on work and cut back on a job, that might mean lost savings and lost wages. So again, these are really important conversations. And lastly, Rob, if you've got siblings, let's talk about siblings for a moment, make sure as best as you can to have the siblings on the same page. I mean, we've seen it firsthand when there's tremendous challenges and strained relationships come about because the siblings are not aligned in terms of the care, especially when it comes to money. So this is a serious issue fraught with a lot of different challenges, but good communication, good, honest communication of what's expected and what's important can go, again, a long way to helping you navigate your folks in terms of need.
Ed Jertsen, certified financial planner, founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Chicago-based Michelin-starred Alinea, celebrating its 20th anniversary with a nationwide tour. Joining us to discuss is Ali Marati, restaurants and retail reporter at Crain Chicago Business. Ali, thank you for joining us today. And you can't really accuse Chef Grant Aiketz of having a lot of dull ideas. He really is an out-of-the-box thinker, especially when it comes to the different ways that he can extend the Alinea brand out into Chicago, but also out into the country.
You're exactly right about that. You know, this he has taken his show on the road before, if you will. On this tour, which, by the way, they're calling it just the first leg of the tour, and there will be a second leg, apparently. They're going to Brooklyn, Miami Beach, and Beverly Hills for a few weeks in each location. They'll go to a restaurant that will kind of host Alinea. And, you know, Brooklyn's the first stop on the tour. Starts March 20th, goes through April 13th, and tickets are already sold out.
Now, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the Charlie Trotter's revival that Alinea was behind in the old Charlie Trotter space. It was that an example of this, you know, taking the restaurant on the road somewhere?
Yeah, it's a similar example, right? So that was actually, Chef Aiketz, like you said. That was actually led by Next, which is the Alinea's kind of sister restaurant. Alinea started 25 years ago, and it really led the way in molecular gastronomy, which is, you know, food kind of being, you know, manipulated and used in different ways that doesn't look like a whole food, right? It's really, really exciting. It became a huge draw to people. Since then, the Alinea group has grown. There are five other concepts in the group. Next is one of them. They did this pop-up at Charlie Trotter's restaurant in Lincoln Park, reopened it, worked with his son to do that. And interestingly, Next right now is doing a menu that also pays homage to the first year of Alinea, you know, being in operation. So you can kind of see like the cross references going on there.
Now, this seems to be something that happens with a lot of the Michelin-starred restaurants that are really at or near the top of the list. I mean, for example, if you're familiar with the French Laundry in Yountville, California, which costs a pretty penny and is very difficult to get into, but they celebrated their 30th anniversary and they did it with their original menu and at their original pricing. So this seems to be a big people can take this show on the road, and it seems like that probably didn't happen before.
Yeah, I mean, nostalgia is big with people of all ages, right? So I think people like to see that throwback. And then with Alinea itself, people come from all over the world to Chicago to try to eat at Alinea. Celebrities often go there. I remember seeing Justin Timberlake there in the past couple of years, you know, on social media. I wasn't there at the same time as him. But, you know, people come from all over.
You didn't say, hey, JT, how you doing? Hope you're taking
no,
a cab.
Unfortunately, I wasn't rubbing elbows with him. But yeah, you know, there's people that know the name all over the country, all over the world. So there's an audience ripe for this to be taken on the road wherever it may be.
Ali Marati, restaurants and retail reporter, Crain Chicago Business. Thank you for joining us today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.